So here we are. Happy New Year to all of you. And I wanted to share with you a message this morning called Dream Big, Bite Small. One of the things that has been really great for me over the last few months is being able to meet new people through the running group that I'm a part of and Errol is a part of as well. It had been kind of static for a while, you know, like certainly through the summer months, we saw a lot of the regular suspects, you know, there wasn't a lot of new people showing up. But then something happened as we turned the corner into September, and we started to see some new faces come out, some new folks showing interest in participating in our weekly group outings. And some of them were, you know, veteran runners, they'd been seasoned, and others who had come out for maybe the first time because they wanted to take a bold new step in their lives. They wanted to embark on something different. And it was great. I mean, I really enjoy getting to know new people. Even though I am a rabid introvert, there's something about me that that loves just hearing people's stories and being able to connect with them and trying to learn, you know, what it is that drives them. What do they see happening as part of their lives? And as we would go on in conversation, you know, every once in a while they would ask about my own running exploits, and I tend to hold my cards pretty close to the chest. I don't ever want to come across as boastful, and I don't want to intimidate people with anything that I may have accomplished because I don't know where they are necessarily in their running journeys. But at the same time, I don't want to be evasive. I don't want people to feel like, you know, that I'm not being completely honest and forthright with them. So when we end up talking about some of the races that I've been a part of, especially the longer distance races, you know, it's not uncommon to be met with a look of wonderment and sometimes disbelief. And they just think, you know, how do you even do that? How do you tackle something that big? You know, and I say to them, you know, trust me, I have asked myself the same question. You know, how do you go about running something that is, you know, in the triple digits? You know, something that goes on for, you know, longer than 24 hours. And honestly, I've asked myself that question, you know, certainly at the beginning of my running journeys, like about 10 years ago when I started and I could barely huff out 3 minutes nonstop, to standing on the start line of those very same races going, what am I doing here? You know, hey, this is plumb insanity. But I, you know, honestly, the way that I got through those, and I share this with people, is the same way that they say that you eat an elephant, which is one bite at a time. And so here we are, again, we're kind of peering over the edge into 2021. And this is a great opportunity as we look ahead at what's in front of us and a year, 360 plus days, full, ripe with possibilities and potential. And you know, maybe this is your year to tackle something that may have seemed unconquerable, impossible, you know, that has been kind of residing on the edges, on the periphery of your radar. You know, I don't know what that looks like. Maybe you know, you finally want to lose that weight that you've been carrying around with you for years. Maybe you want a career change, right? Maybe you want to do something different with the bulk of the days that you spend throughout the weeks and months and years. Maybe you know, there's that special someone that you really want to build a meaningful relationship with, or there's some habit, some that you've been dying to break, some cycle that you want to kick out of. You know, I'm not trying to feed you ideas because I don't think that you need me to tell you what that elephant might look like. You know, I believe that you've got already the plans and the visions and the dreams and the purposes inside of you. And maybe you don't see that. You just like, I don't know how I could try to tackle something that big. You're talking crazy talk, man. You know, like, well, what is it that I can do to take down that elephant? Except that we're here together this morning, worshiping the God for whom nothing is impossible. In Luke chapter 14, it says this. If you look at the verse on the screen, it says, what appears humanly impossible is more than possible with God. From Luke 18, more than possible with God. Not just remotely possible, not just outside chance, more than possible. And God wants us to grab a hold of that life. God wants us to go for that and to live that life that maybe seems otherwise impossible but is more than possible with him. One of my anchor passages of scripture is Hebrews chapter 11. And by anchor passage, I mean it's just that part of the Bible that I come to because I believe that it so sort of significantly and clearly explains to me what God is like and how God relates to us and what our lives can be like. And so Hebrews chapter 11, it opens up like this. It says, now faith brings our hopes into reality and becomes the foundation needed to acquire the things we long for. It is all the evidence required to prove what is still unseen. The testimony of faith is what previous generations were commended for. Faith empowers us to see that the universe was created and beautifully coordinated by the power of God's words. He spoke, and the invisible realm gave birth to all that is seen. And then if you end up going on in Hebrews 11, you just find story after story of people who kind of walked through faith. You find people who trusted in God to lead them to places that they could not have gone themselves. And I love how that first verse of Hebrews wraps up, you know, or the first few verses of Hebrews, talking about how everything that was visible is birthed out of what was invisible. You know, and maybe you have struggled with that in life. You've struggled with seeing your way into a life that feels like it's worth living. You know, I get it. You know, it's a struggle day to day. And we wrestle through all of the variables, all the factors, all the demands, all the expectations that sometimes get piled onto us. And it's tough slugging, just navigating through that. I get it. You know, you've not been dealt the perfect hand in life. No one of us has. And we all have our challenges. We all have our struggles. But maybe you need to hear that God is for you, that God has dreams and hopes for you, and he believes in you. Maybe more than you believe in him, God believes in you. And God is the one who says that he knows the plans he has for us, plans to prosper us, not to harm us, plans for hope and a future. He wants us to dream big. He is just really like bursting at the seams to have us dream big. And then we've got to bite small. I love, as I say, the stories in Hebrews 11. And if you haven't had a chance to read it, I encourage you, go read it. Maybe not right now, stay with me, but read it at some point. And like the story of Abraham. Abraham, who was called by God to become the father of as many descendants as there are grains of sand on the seashore. Right? That's just kind of mind-blowing. Like, how do you even count that? And it said this about Abraham. Faith motivated Abraham to obey God's call and leave the familiar to discover the territory he was destined to inherit from God. So he left with only a promise. And without even knowing ahead of time where he was going, Abraham stepped out in faith. I mean, that is pretty crazy. Like, Abraham didn't know where he was going. Like it's not like he had his route entirely mapped out. It's not like he knew what, you know, day one would hold for his trip, and then the end of the first week, and the end of the first month, and the end of the first 6 months, or whatever. He just set out in faith, one step, and then the next step, one foot in front of the other. Like, God calls us to bite small. Just do those little things that lead us forward. I mean, it must have been the same for Noah. I mean, Noah, you know, he was told by God, hey, listen, calamity is coming. Like planetary disaster is on its way. And you've got to save a sample of every breathing thing so that we can conserve that and rebuild. Like, I'm sure to anybody looking on, for, you know, Noah saying, God told me this, like, it was just bonkers, right? Like, what are you talking about? Like, and, you know, how would he have even begun to do that? Noah, who had never seen rain, Noah, who, like, when they said it's going to rain cats and dogs, and you got to collect all the cats and dogs, like, you know, I mean, like, what is he going to do? But here's something I want to share with you, that when God births it, God is 100% behind it. God backs it. God is your foreign investor. God is the one who says, I'm going to see this and make sure it gets done. And so for Abraham, you know, it was just, okay, Abraham, set out. Just start going in the direction that I'm calling you to. I'll help take care of the rest. I will guide you along the way. I will make your path straight. I will sort this out with you. For Noah, like Noah, I mean, he didn't have to figure out, how am I going to conserve all wildlife? You know, how am I going to do this? You know, how am I going to tell my wife, honey, we bought a zoo. I'm not even sure what a zoo is, but we bought one. You know, like this is what's happening. All Noah had to do was start nailing a couple of boards on top of another couple of boards and keep on going until he had built his ark. That's what God asks us to do. Bite small. I mean, take that big dream and start doing the little things that amount to big change. I mean, it's interesting. If you look through the Bible, I would encourage you to do this yourself. This is how I've seen it. I see time and time again God asking us to do the little things. You know, at that mount to a big difference. It's interesting. Paul says this in his letter to the Ephesians. He says, if you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. See, sometimes I think we think that God wants just kind of complete transformation overnight, like turn everything upside down. And I think God knows, no, that's an elephant that's too big for you to consume. So even to the thief, he says, listen, just stop stealing. Yeah, I don't expect you to become a saint overnight. I don't expect you to make total amends with everybody. Just stop stealing. Just do the little thing that's in front of you that you can control. And then I'll lead you the rest of the way. It's interesting, James, the brother of Jesus, says that anyone who knows what is the right thing to do but doesn't do it is actually sinning. See, sometimes the little things that we can do are manageable, and they're right in front of us. But it's when we choose to ignore those moments, when we choose to pass up on those opportunities, that our lives actually begin to go off the rails. That's what sin is. Sin is life off the rails. Life off of the rails that God had intended for us, that God desires for us. He says, don't pass up those little opportunities. Don't miss out on the little things that you can be doing that lead to your big dreams, that lead to what I have dreamt for you. I deeply feel like this is the conversation that we need to have here at the beginning of 2021. As we look out ahead and think about how can we dream big and bite small. So first things first is, you know, what does your elephant look like? You know, like, what is that big to-do on your list for this year? You know, what do you yearn for? Do you even yearn, bro? You know, like, I mean, this is a legitimate question. I say it, sort of tongue-in-cheek, but honestly, I've seen and come in contact with enough people who have been so disillusioned with life, so kind of struggling through day to day that they've lost their vision. They look like this person, you know. They've just been blinded. Like they don't know where they're going anymore. The best that they can hope for is to make it from one day and wake up the next and carry on, you know. And just hear me out on this. I'm not in a position to judge, and I don't know everything that people struggle with. I don't know what you struggle with, you know, what it takes, what challenges you to get through one day to another. I can just tell you that it makes my heart ache when I hear about people who have lost their vision for life, who just feel like, okay, I just got to get through this. Because when Jesus came, he came that people like you and I could have life to the full. Not life to the tolerable, not life to the mediocre, life to the full. Jesus wants us to dream big dreams, to know how grand it is to live in the way that he has called us to live. And to explore all the opportunities, all the beauty, all the richness of life that he has in store. You know, that is it. Is that God really wants us to begin dreaming big. And so you know, I don't know like what it is you struggle with, but he wants us to move out of obscurity. He wants us to move out of worry. He wants us to move out of defeat into a place of prominence, into a place of hope-filledness. So God calls you to dream big. And I know if you read Pastor Matthew's blog post, I think it was on New Year's Eve, you read about how January can be such a difficult month for so many people. And I don't want to sound like I'm contradicting, because at one point he talks about how his wife, Laura, our Sunday school coordinator, had said, you know, that sometimes it's counterproductive to set lofty goals. And so So Laura, I apologize. You know, call me. I'll apologize in person. You know, like, but honestly, God calls us to dream big, because if there's anything that the devil wants to steal from you, it's first of all your joy, and the second of all your vision. He would love for you to not know the amazing things that God has in store for you. He would love for you to take a pass on the life that God is calling you to live. So claim your life back. Claim your vision back. Claim that, because Jesus came to give it to you. I want to ask you to do something with me. We'll put this up on the screen. I want you to just, wherever you are, just say this out loud with me. And you're thinking, oh, I'm not going to say anything out loud, you know? I mean, because, you know, like, it's going to sound weird. Trust me, if people see you watching a guy looking like this on your screen, they already know something weird's going on, all right? So just humor me, and I want you to say this, okay? Say, I am a person of vision, all right?
I am a person of vision.
Yeah, yeah. I am a person of vision. And then say, I am a person of promise. I am a person of promise. Yeah, maybe you need to say that at the start of each day. Maybe you need to say that several times over the course of the day. Maybe you need to say that, you know, with your family. I don't know. This is not power of positive thinking stuff. This is not mind over matter. This is God saying that you were created in my image. I, the uncontainable God, I, the God of infinite possibilities, I, the God with whom everything is more than possible. You were made in my image, and I know the plans that I have for you. You are a person of vision. You are a person of promise. Dream big, but then bite small. These tasks, these dreams, these visions, they can be just so monumental. You have to figure out how can I start tackling this in a manageable way. And so here's something that I'm going to just suggest that maybe you give a shot to. Like, if you maybe go to your kitchen and find a fork, and just, you know, grab that fork, and then put it your bedside table, maybe put it on, you know, your bathroom sink by your toothbrush, just somewhere that you are going to see it as you greet each new day. And let that fork be a reminder to you that today you're going to take a bite out of that elephant. You know, what is it that you can do that you can stick a fork into that day? You know, maybe it's your opportunity to look up the address of that person that you've been meaning to contact. Maybe what you need to do is just grab a napkin and start scribbling out the vaguest of drawings for that crazy invention that you have. Maybe you want to, you know, go and get that admission form for that school that you've been interested in. There are little things that we can do that, and maybe should do, that start to move the needle forward. We bite small. We do the little things that make a difference. And God will back us. God will help us see it through. I mean, and you think, I'm in too deep. I've got too much going on. You know, that. And quite often, you know what happens? Is we allow the people who've been part of our past, who've maybe spoken brokenness into our lives, to continue to hold control. We carry baggage that weighs us down. All we can see is the clutter that blocks our path. We hear the voices of self-doubt. But God says, I believe in you. I'm behind you. I'm giving you life. Life to the full. Dream big and bite small. Just as we did this morning during the kids' time with Errol, we celebrated. I think we need to do that more as adults. You know, that too often, again, we get caught up in the minutiae of day to day. Too often we lose our vision. Too often we feel bogged down and that we can barely get a breath. But God says this is a year full of possibilities. Breathe that in. Breathe in the breath of life that I'm offering to you. Because Jesus, who came as a baby, born in a manger, he came for you. He came to live for you. He came to fight for you. He came to bleed for you. He came to die for you. And he came to rise to life again for you. This is the God who believes in you. No matter where your life has taken you, no matter what roads you've gone down that you wish you had not gone down, God says, celebrate where you are now because I'm taking you to new places, to greater heights. You know, so dream big and bite small. You know, live the kind of lives that when people look on, they think that just does not make sense apart from God being your driving force. You know, when we start to attempt things for God, when we start to accomplish things in his power, people are going to start to take notice, and they're going to start to ask, what's gotten into them? And the answer is God's gotten into you. God's vision has gotten into you. Jesus' life has gotten into you. And I'm convinced that when you start to open yourself up to the visions that God has for your life, when you start to bite small and tackle the things that God says, you know what, this is right in front of you, do this. Do the right thing. Do the good that you know you ought to do now. That we will begin to experience just that joy and that overflowing blessing. And honestly, that we'll find that the God of infinite possibilities and all power, all resources, all joy, all hope, all purpose, all passion is just itching to unleash his blessings on you.